that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 3. Hey, Fox says, how much would it cost for you to take out a Sith Lord? Aura Sing, her boots propped up on a cantina table, and her drink halfway to her mouth, freezes like Fox just asked her if she moonlighted as a Jedi. After a long, long second, she lowers her drink, eyeing Fox warily across the slightly fuzzy comm connection, and says dangerously, I don't know if you've heard, clone, but I'm working for the other side. Fox rolls his eyes, leaning back in Palpatine's chair. The office is completely sealed off, but Palpatine has all the fun encrypted comm channels. On account of him sending holos while dressed in a big menacing cloak sometimes, Fox presumes, and maybe Chancellor things. Besides, it's a comfortable office. Fox kind of wants to keep it. You're working for your side, Fox says. You really telling me a paycheck wouldn't be enough to convince you to do a little freelancing? Aura considers him, then tosses half of her drink back in one go. I kill clones. I don't work for them, she says, killingly sweet. Fox snorts. What if I promised you... He checks his pad. Two houses on Naboo, a mansion, Corellia, and a fortress on Bis. There's a pause, careful, and Aura lowers her mug. I thought clones didn't have credits, she says, testing. It's not stealing if it's from someone I hate, Fox tells her. Then it's a just and timely redistribution of assets. Aura laughs, wicked and sharp. For a clone, you're not half bad, she says, grinning. The expression is all teeth in a way Fox respects. Which one are you? The handsome one, Fox tells her. Without his armor, she'll never be able to pick him out of a lineup, which is exactly how Fox likes it. What's your price? A thoughtful hum. Aura leans back, tipping her head. For a Sith Lord, I'd need a team. And my ex, which means you're going to have to pay through the nose. I'm sure Hondo will be delighted to see you, Fox says blandly, and doesn't flinch at the faint narrowing of Aura's eyes. If she chose to sleep with Hondo, she can deal with the consequences. Fox absolutely understands lapses in taste. He once spent a few weeks out of his mind and convinced that Skywalker was attractive, in a I-can-make-him-less-of-a-toxic-tire-fire kind of way, which he blames on Skywalker getting an actual haircut and showering regularly while he was in the temple. But this is one Aura either needs to own up to or stop bringing up. After a long second, Aura huffs, apparently giving up on trying to make Fox feel any sort of shame. Which is better for both of them in the long run. Fox had any sense of shame surgically removed around the time he was decanted, and he's on a schedule here. Fine, she says. I'll send you my contract. But I want a favor, too. And the Naboo mansion. Deal. Fox says. Because if Dooku's out of the picture, that's all he needs. What's the favor? One brow raises. Eager, aren't you? Aura says dryly. You don't even know what it is. Fox rolls his eyes right back. I found your comm code, and I'm giving you a mansion. I think that proves I can get you whatever you want. Aura concedes that with a tip of her head, and her smirk is all sharp edges. Fine. I want to know where Jedi Master John Antilles was when he died. Fox stops. And it's the first thing that's truly caught him off guard since he woke up in this time. A dead Jedi? He asks, faintly incredulous. You want to go desecrate his body? No. Aura snaps, shifting forward like she's going to lunge right through the transmission and strangle Fox. Just get me his damn location. It's not like anyone really believes he's dead anyway. And he owes me 3,000 credits and a ship. A Jedi owes you credits and a ship? Fox repeats skeptically. Do Jedi even know what credits are? That actually makes Aura laugh. And it's still sharp, but there's real humor in it. If they did, he wouldn't owe me 3,000 of them. Get me his last location, and I'll splatter Dooku's brains all over his shiny castle for you. As far as favors go, finding where one Jedi was when he died is a lot better than Fox expected. A shiny could probably do it, if they had access to Stone and his ability to be distracted by good gossip. And Fox has exactly the gossip that will get his attention. Deal, he says. I'll calm you with the information by tomorrow. Aura raises a brow, sweeping a look over Fox again. The handsome one, was it? You're that sure of yourself, clone? Fox rolls his eyes, makes sure she sees it. You kill Dooku, and I'll happily tell you exactly who I am, he says blandly. It's a lie, but she doesn't need to know that. Say hello to Hondo for me. Aura's expression snaps into rage, but Fox switches the transmission off before she can even get another word out. Then leans back in Palpatine's comfortable chair and eyes his desk, its controls. The headache hits like a freight train, like a speeder slamming right into Fox's skull and leaving the rest of his body untouched. And he lists forward with a deep, agonized groan, clamping his hands over his ears and trying to breathe shallowly. Well, at least he got Dooku dealt with. Skywalker's next on the list. Just later. The headache's winning for now. When Fox saunters back into his office after a full night of sleep, headache gone, full pot of caff in one hand and an actual novel in the other, facing outward, of course, entirely so all the other guard commanders in the squad room could see it and glare jealously over his lack of paperwork, there's a Jedi perched on the edge of his desk. Unfortunately, it's not the Jedi Fox wants to see. Commander, Depa Bilaba says cheerfully, and at her shoulder, Gray gives Fox a look that's halfway to a warning. Back in your office, even when you're on medical leave, your dedication is commendable. Better to stare at the walls in here than the ceiling in the bunk room, Fox says frankly, putting his calf and books safely out of reach. Last time around, he let Thorne take the top bunk, but right after landing back here, Fox booted him out and stole it back. He likes being on top. He very deftly squashes what results when that thought crashes into his lingering hope that it would be Mace lounging on his desk, robes riding up, tall boots perfectly polished, and tunics sliding open. That's definitely a thought best saved for his bunk. And Vox shuts it down, files it away, and forces himself not to get distracted. Depa cocks her head, her dark eyes thoughtful as she studies Fox. I'm sure it is, she says. Commander Gray has very few kind things to say about the barracks, even if he rarely sees them anymore. Her smile is all mischief. General, Gray says, flushing faintly. We're deployed so often, Commander. It's hardly a secret, Depa says innocently, and that smile is dangerous. Fox eyes it with a healthy amount of respect as she turns it on Gray, makes him go dark red and glare right back. Depa laughs, like that glare was her goal all along, and turns her smile on Fox again. "I saw the flowers you brought my master," she says, still merry. "A very dramatic bouquet, Commander." There's only one person Fox has ever given flowers to, and he hadn't realized that Depa was Mace's former Padawan, but in a strange way, it fits. She has Mace's serenity, but his is focused and hers is winsome. If a high-powered blaster rifle could be winsome. "He kept them?" Fox asks. And he hadn't thought Mace would toss the flowers, but Depa's expression softens, slips into something gentler. "They're in his office so he can see them at every waking moment," she says with a touch of warm amusement, "and currently giving Master Kenobi allergy attacks. I think Master Mace appreciates them for that as well." Fox doesn't technically have a problem with Kenobi, except for how he didn't finish off Skywalker when he had the chance. Still, the thought of him going in to bother Mace and getting hit with a sneezing fit is sweet all on its own. Fox grins, all teeth, and says, "I'll have to buy him more then." Depa chuckles, sliding down off the edge of the desk. "He loves flowers," she says, meeting Fox's gaze. And her gaze manages to be warm and a little sad at the same time. "I can't recall anyone ever giving them to him before you, Commander. It was a good choice." Fox pauses, a little startled, turns that over in his head for a moment, and, well, if no one else can see what they're missing, that's all the better for him. He'll definitely have to buy Mace more, now that he's got access to all of Palpatine's funds through his comm codes. It shouldn't even be that hard. Fox pictures Palpatine's wrinkled old ballsack of a face if he ever found out that Fox was using all his carefully embezzled credits to buy flowers for Mace Criffing Windu, and has to take a second just to bask in the glory of it all. It's incredible. He loves every second of this new life. "Well," he says, and grins with teeth. "Guess that makes everyone else idiots." Depa laughs, pulling something from the sleeve of her robe and dangling it in Fox's face. "For you, Commander," she says merrily. "I had my reservations, but," she gives him a wink, "a secret between us." Fox looks at her. Looks at the pass swinging between them, and raises a brow. "I have clearance to get in the temple already," he says blandly. "Not the residence levels," Depa says, "and that smirk could take out a sentient at 100 paces. I took the liberty of listing Master Mace's rooms on the attached map, just in case you wanted to bring him flowers again. Somewhere outside his office." Fox pauses, eyes narrowing even as his fingers twitch. He wants to take the pass. The idea of knowing where Mace's rooms are is tempting, and access to them, so Fox can leave him gifts directly, is even more so, but he thinks of Skywalker, skulking around Amidala's office in the Senate, barging in like he has every right to be there when she's working, and can't help the urge to pull a face. Fox's sense of boundaries might be a little off, both because of growing up with a few million other cadets all crammed in ass-cheek to ass-cheek for the first decade of their accelerated lives, and just because he's Fox. But he, at least, can figure out where most people's lines fall. Finding Skywalker attractive really was his lowest moment, Fox thinks, and vows to never tell another soul about it. Some bad taste can be forgiven. Some bad taste can be forgiven. That can't. "No, thank you, General Billaba," he says blandly, and raises a brow. "Does Mace know you go around handing out his room key to just anyone?" Depa laughs, and instantly the air in the room seems to lighten. His room key? She asks cheerfully. My mistake, Commander Fox. I should have been clearer. It will get you into the residence levels, where Master Mace's favorite refectory is. They can usually be bribed into preparing his favorites if they know it's for him. And Master Mace sometimes skips dinner if he's particularly tired. Someone bringing him food would brighten his day. Food. A good meal and flowers. That sounds like perfect seduction material to Fox. And it's probably not a violation of boundaries. He's sold. When Fox snaps a hand up to grab the pass, Depa drops it into his grip, then sails past him like a particularly lovely battleship and out the door. Come, Gray, I think we're done here. She tell you that in bed, too? Fox asks as Gray passes him, and Gray punches him in the shoulder, as red as his armor, and keeps going. He very noticeably doesn't deny it.